Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name is Matt.
My name is Edgar.
And we are a podcast that covers the entire James Bond phenomenon from filming to film and everything in between.
Ooh.
I won't even try. We are back. We are doing another musical episode, and it's always funny that I'm doing music episode because as Edgar can testify again, I am completely tone deaf. It's amazing how I can't carry a tune for life.
That's true. One of the great, I'm sure I've told this story on the show. If not, enjoy. But one of the greatest moments since we've known each other was the first time we went, because we've, funny enough, for the podcast, we've been to Toronto more than once. But anyways, I believe it was the first time we went to Toronto, and it would have been Casino Royale, I guess, the first time. Yeah. And we're walking around. I don't remember what we were doing that day, but we had nothing to do, so we're just walking around, and you start singing something. And it takes me a few seconds to forget, and you were singing License to Kill, but it sounded nothing like it. And I think I burst out laughing. I might have cried.
Something like that. Unlike a previous iteration, this is going to be Brosnan-centric, the Brosnan era, because unlike Connery, Moore, Lazenby, Dalton, he's pretty much the 90s with a little extra bit for the 2000, and after that, whenever we get around to it and do Daniel Craig, I'll be the Craig era. It won't be 2010s. Because that was the 2020s, because that makes such a difference. So we're doing the Brosnan era Bond tunes, and I was we are in a full, I feel like we are in a full fledged Brosnan Renaissance. I feel people are I'm reevaluating this era of films after the Craig era has ended last year, after a year since No Time to Die, the dust has settled. My opinion of his films, of his tenure, has solidified. It might change. My opinions are always flexible. Brosnan, if watching a Brosnan movie, which I might have done recently, feels like such a breath of fresh air. And I was thinking, before we move to our picks, I was thinking about Top Gun Maverick, which I mean, last summer was probably my favorite movie of the last summer, easily.
For a lot of people, it was. Yeah.
Only was it, it's the stunts were real, like most of the Brosnan era movie stunts, but also it's not a very complex, morally gray, tortured hero story. It's, it's pretty much a good guy, and that's,
and even when he gets tortured, he has Sophie Marceau practically sitting on his face, so.
It's fun to rewatch these movies. They've aged better than people probably thought at the time. Even you watch the Metacritic, they're pretty average. They're pretty middle of the road. But I mean, the movies are, I'm going to compare them to most Marvel movies. They're sort of not very deep, kind of funny with exciting sequence.
How dare you?
Sometimes feel a little bit disjointed from the narrative, but for the most part, they've aged very well. And another thing I was thinking, and this blew my mind, was I did the math. I was like, oh my god, let me verify on my phone. It's been longer between now and the beginning of the Brosnan era than between the beginning of the Brosnan era and the beginning and end of the Lazenby era. Been 26 years 27 or 26 between
just a few years. Yeah, 27 years. Vis-a-vis what? 16, 17, something like that. 16, I think. No, 26. Excuse me. 26, 16. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, time is like a river for us. Well, especially me.
I'm joining in on the fun too.
It's the age, you know, when you start broaching your 40s, time becomes malleable.
cut that part out.
so we're gonna talk about the Brosnan era, and we're gonna start with the music of
Golden not lace or leather. Ugh. It's a golden honey trap I've got for you tonight. That's enough for that. That is not why the listeners downloaded this episode.
all our downloads stop. All the listening stop.
Why did they only listen to 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of Bond Beats Volume 4?
So we're talking about, you know, GoldenEye. Since I'm gonna be the DJ, I think I'll start with yours. Let me start sharing.
Yeah, this is a bit of a funny one, because I think when a lot of people think about, well, you know, we're in the context of Bond fans, and more specifically Bond fans that pay attention to the film scores, I think when people consider the Brosnan era, it's very easy and justifiable to think about David Arnold. Mm-hmm. But the reality of the situation, and perhaps quite ironically as well, is that his, quote, best film, end quote, is not accompanied by a David Arnold score.
Yes.
So it's a bit funny, because I think a lot of people, and I don't want to speak for everybody, every rule has its exceptions, but I think for a lot of people, they'll say, oh yeah, GoldenEye is his best movie. But virtually no one will say GoldenEye is the best score. But my number three is Whispering Statues.
Oh, I started with the Severnaya Street. So the, I don't know where that was.
Severnaya Suite is, it's the my middle, it's my number two.
So I start with number two. So
I start with number two. This one has a very melancholic feel to it. I find there's a sweetness to it, as is often the case with something that's melancholy. Who says melancholy says, you know, memories, and you want to remember something, you're trying to remember something. So I think it has have that quality to it. It has very nice strings to it, which is, I do like my film scores with strings. The GoldenEye score is greatly lacking in that department, save for a couple of the tracks like this one. What if I put on my weird Bond Beats volumes hat and I go off on my stories, this one kind of makes me think of like a fantasy movie where like the heroine is like a little girl like lost in the woods, almost like a Little Red Riding Hood type of a story, and like the big bad wolf is when the horns
there's a tragic quality to it.
Yeah there's something quite interesting about it. It's a very
melancholic, it's
melancholic. It's romantic, not in the like heart-to-heart sense, but in sort of that classical sense where there's this very dramatic story happening. Maybe I'm thinking of a forest, because the set of an Irish suite is sort of up there in
that little flute also makes it, I don't know, it adds a whimsy to it.
Yeah, so that's my number two. I do think it's one of the more passionate, which is funny because one of my tracks has the word passions in it, but it's one of the more passionate tracks on the score.
Very good. Which brings me to my, you know what, Since you shared your second favorite, I'll share my second favorite, and it's a controversial, very controversial choice.
Defend yourself.
Oh, I like it. It's whimsical. It's silly. It's very 90s, and it's a 90s movie. Let's not forget. It's 1995, and I don't know. It is a crazy dumb scene. It's silly, and it has it has a Roger Moore-esque feel, that sequence, like with the people tripping over themselves. Yeah. Very Roger Moore-esque. Mm. And this feels like a Roger Moore 90s style action film, like kind of like the Marvin Englisch version of a Roger Moore. So I don't mind it. And what would you put in instead? Like a very dramatic music, very dark. No, it has to be dumb and kind of fun.
It doesn't have to be dumb. I would use the word have to, but so there's some strings that right there. So it's sort of, it's alleviating the loopiness of the track. I think my issue, I don't hate Ladies First. I mean, it works in the scene. It's fine. But I think despite the fact that I can give it a mild pass, you know, Ladies First, which is the name of the track, sort of is representative of what, there's no point in saying my problem with the score. I think it's representative of a lot of people's problem with the score.
Oh, it's especially, at little part, the beginning, the way it starts, it looks like it hurts some fans, some members of the community. It's like it's like torture for them. So listen to it.
Yeah, you know what I would have loved if I had a time machine. Well, there's no point in having a time machine, because if I could have been old enough to be sort of like a mature adult in 1995 to go see GoldenEye on opening weekend, having not heard the soundtrack, and this starts playing, you know, who's that? The next girl, and the... I wonder how I would have reacted. Would have been an interesting... I would have loved to have been in the cinema room, like people like heads turning, like, what was that?
I was in the theater. Honestly, it's so quick, people didn't really mind. It's just when you listen, it's on home video, I think, people, and 27 years, 26 years since, people built their own opinions, and, for better or worse, they really don't like the first few notes of that song. Which, and we did two, and now let's do your number one.
So who needs numbers? My number one is a track that I really truly do like a lot. It's called "We Share the Same Passions." I think Matt, my tastes. You know my name. You know my tastes fairly well. I'm a bit more of a classicist. I'm a bit more of a traditionalist. Ladies First was never going to be in my top three. even though, it doesn't drive me bat poop, but but We Share the Same Passions does. In fact, I get a sense of almost classic Hollywood with We Share the Same Passions. I think it plays in a very nice moment in the film as well, when Brosnan arrives at Monaco and you hear like Brosnan's great French, "Bonsoir Pierre, ça va?"
"Bonsoir Pierre, comment ça va?" I should mock him, because he actually is very fluent in French from what I heard. It's just that he has an accent, and they portray these characters are portrayed as being flawless and have incredible bilingual skills, and the actors are bilingual, but they have an accent. Mm.
That's fine. Anyway, so this is when Bond arrives at the casino in Monaco and plays Baccarat versus the next girl. And there's a sense of... I understand that it's in the context of a Bond movie. But when I hear this, I think of, Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, embracing. It's the great Hollywood romance. And it's the scene where they... It's this scene where they profess their love to one another, and there's a sun in the back, or there's a moon, even better, there's a moon. Actually, it would probably be a rear projection, but there's a rear projection moon in the background, and Cary Grant and Grace Kelly are just looking at each other's eyes. So there's, you know, I describe the Sebernaya suite as romantic as far as the drama. This one I genuinely think is romantic. It is called We Share the Same Passions. They're talking about gambling, cars, and screwing, but I do get a sense of actual passion, of actual romance with this. I think this is a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. Ding de David Arnold, even though this is not a David Arnold score.
It's the most classical,
yeah,
of the entire. Like, it's very it's in the vein of Bond and Casino and opulence, richness, and nostalgia. And when you said Cary Grant and to catch thief, basically, you nailed it. That's very
it's
one of few movies of Hitchcock I've watched in the past 2 years, and yeah, it's definitely in that, and it's in the same place too. Good choice, good pick.
Mild spoilers: Hitchcock may be coming up again later on in this episode. I will say no more.
Shocking. Now I have to. Okay.
That was my number one.
That was your number one. Okay, I have to share my number one.
What's your favorite GoldenEye? I can't, like, what can top Ladies First? What can possibly top Ladies First? Oh God. He's bouncing.
You know why I picked that? Head. You know why I picked that one? It's a Poland Drive and Sympathous Work. It's feels like, sorry, a little bit of a flu, it's not the COVID, no worries, but this is this feels like I'm playing the Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah. Which is weird because this came out two years before, but it would fit right into the Nintendo 64 game. Yeah,
but I think the people who made the 64 game used part of they did. It's very Eric Stara, but a little bit more Bondian. I think the video game soundtrack is better than the movie soundtrack.
No, probably.
This one's as fun. It's, you know, it's very 90s, but, you know, European 90s, not American or. See, again, I can hear the Fifth Element in that soundtrack.
It's there. You know what this is? This is, I love doing these episodes and just going off of these stupid ideas. This is like when North Americans who have only been listening to American music, have you heard the European jam? You ever heard the European music? And they play this and it's like, what? That's okay, I'll go back to listening to American music.
It's fun. It is fun. I like it. You know, I made my choices to keep the conversation entertaining. I'm not, you know, I would have probably, if you asked me, but this one, it was fun. It generates a little bit of discussion because it sounds like an N64. Like I can, you know, you would have told me it's from the video game. I was, oh, sure. Because I don't necessarily listen to the Bond soundtrack all the time at every hour of the day. My tastes are very different than, you know, I'm very into sound synthwave right now for some reason.
I think if what you just said there, if I can bounce off of that point, if you had told me it was from the video game soundtrack, I would have believed you. I think that's my problem with it. It's not from the video game soundtrack. It's in the movie.
You see, but we were generating content, conversation. It's the power of art.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying why I think this sucks.
Sorry, you can be wrong. I don't care. Okay, I'm even tired of listening to this one. I like the beginning of it, but eventually it's 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Oh.
The little Bond theme there in the middle sounds off a little bit. I mean, it's not playing right now, but earlier in the track, there's sort of a facsimile. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I don't like that very much.
It feels like it belongs in the video game, so I don't. I don't mind it, to be honest with you.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. So, let me share.
So my number three is Whispering Statues, which, judging by the title, I'm sure the listeners know.
Actually, that's a great pick. I'm glad you picked this one because of that soundtrack. This particular track with Sarah's music probably works. It's the one that works the best.
Mm-hmm.
It has that industrial cold quality. Part of the beginning, I don't know what the name of the track are. The tracks are at the beginning of the movie, but when he's at the dam. What's the name of the dam?
GoldenEye Overture.
Yeah, that also has strong elements of, you know, it feels like Cold War era.
Yeah, that one does.
Dagger.
This one makes me more think of, it is a fairly spooky scene as far as Bond scenes go. It's a fairly spooky scene. But what it makes me think of is a haunted house. And like, characters are exploring a haunted house, and it's where, you know, the lights are out, obviously. And there's some weird sounds, you know, the chants or the weird sounds. And now we're going into the basement. You know, we're going into what's in the basement? It's in the basement.
Or goes, but yeah.
And at the end, I mean, we don't have to play the whole track, but it ends when Alec is recounting the story of his family, and it's just the piano. For me, in my mind, that's like when the monster's revealed, but it turns out like the monster's not really the villain. It's more just like this sad creature that's lived like a pathetic existence, and it's telling its story, which is kind of what Alex is. So that's sort of fine. No, there you go, the piano. But
it's a very good pick. It's it's one of the is the track that works the best for the movie. I feel like that scene with, you know, it's called the Whispering Statues, but you can hear sort of modulated like hum, give it a haunting quality. And good pick.
Well, thank you. I'm going to do my best to say the same for yours.
I'm sure you will. So let's start to your presentation and let's go back to my playlist, the greatest playlist of all time.
See, I can do a GoldenEye soundtrack.
It's very, it's not very, I'm just gonna put it
I
up.
Got it.
Okay, that's what keeps you alone.
That's what keeps me alive. That's a nice one too. That is a nice one.
It's very emotional, but it you know, it has some of the Severina Suite melody.
Yeah.
It's Natalia's theme, which kind of like, and it's very romantic. This is like, you know,
there's a softness to it, but they're also, have they fornicated at this point? I'm assuming
they fornicated after the tank.
But there is a sort of it's on weird
the tracks.
Yeah, on the tracks, it's true. It's weird if they've already fornicated, because I actually feel like this is where there's a bit of a thawing going on here, where, you know, Brosnan's gone on record. I couldn't quote in what publication or whatever. I'm sure it's in one of the billion books we have, but he is on record of, you know, I wanted to peel the onion layers, you know, who is James Bond? And I find this music almost tells that story as well. There's something a little bit sad about James Bond.
A little, yeah.
So it keeps me alive. It keeps you alone. You know, it's a very nice track. Very, very nice track. I like it a lot.
No, it's very. He's a very isolated character, and that plays on that theme.
See, now there's some sexy time starting.
Yeah, but I know there's a. It's like the two characters are speaking, like the little flute and Bond's more like That's the Italian part of when it goes. It's Bond. It's like the two characters sort of having a musical conversation.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a very astute point, right there. No, it's good. It does feel a little bit more like Natalia speaking in this track, although the horns are there occasionally.
It's also more Natalia. That's more open with her emotion. Bond's like. Mm-hmm. That's what gives me.
He was your friend, and now you're going to kill him.
Yeah.
In a way, yes. it's a great scene. It's. I do like that scene a lot. Obviously, you know, they go for more of the emotional stuff in the Craig era, but I find GoldenEye is a nice balance.
I think they had the perfect amount of pathos and emotion. Mm. And you know, whimsy. I don't think they nailed that. You know, they tried to go deeper with the Bond character and make him more emotional, and it just ends up being a poor sap that dies at the end. Spoiler alert.
Right. So it's GoldenEye.
It's GoldenEye for you.
Oh, that's my real number one.
Oh yeah, that's my. What's the expression? Dishonorable mention.
Dishonorable mention.
Since do you have a fourth one, or can I play this one?
Oh well, I had a backup in case we. My backup was you don't have to play, but my backup was the GoldenEye Overture because it's the one industrial track that I don't mind too much.
Hey, why not? Let's play it because I actually like it. So it's your fourth one. I like the title, the pre-dial. Like it's not the most it's sexy.
You know what? It reminds me of Christmas on a military base. There was a little of the
Sure. You know? But it does sound like a 90s soundtrack. I mean, the mixing, the sort of richness of the sound is, you know, that's the best they could do with their equipment. And okay, that's a reference that 99% of our listening audience won't get. But there's a somewhat, you know, pretty famous French-Canadian singer called Eric Lapointe. And then And he's been making more or less the same album for the past 25 years. Every once in a while, he comes out with an album, but it sounds just like the previous album, which sounds just like the previous album. And he started around the same time, 95. And he still uses this, more or less, it feels like he uses the same sort of synthesizer instruments that sound like the drums that he uses today are the same that he used in 1995. So I'm listening to this. I'm like, oh, that's Eric Lapointe music. Yeah, it's really good. So there's probably only two of our listeners that get the reference, and I'm gonna say hi to Peel. Hi Peel, our friend Peel.
Our two listeners, P and O.
yeah, from Drummer Peel on Instagram. I'm gonna keep playing because later on they are like Google Music.
Tomorrow
I'm gonna
put in my never die.
No. Before I want to play my dishonorable mention.
I'm in a jungle. It's very sweltering. my skin is glistening. My chest is open, and out of nowhere. For some inexplicable reason, is the most beautiful, babylicious female version of the human species I've ever gazed my eyes on. And her eyes lock. She as well is sweltering, glistening.
Oh my god, you're making it sound so...
Then we take refuge in the foliage. Escape the people, escape the animals, and a little bit of privacy.
Okay, that's enough. But I want you, for our listeners...
Hey, my fantasy isn't over. Why did you turn off the music?
I want to kind of prove... yeah, your fantasy is my torture. I want to share another soundtrack from the same composer. And can you even tell that it's that song?
Yeah, it sounds... I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's very similar.
It feels like it's the alternate version of the same song. And it came out 2 years after GoldenEye.
Right. Does this play at the end of the fifth? I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah, it's the end song. Little Light of Love.
Precious little light of love. Precious little light of love. Yeah, my love.
He's singing about Milo Jovovich.
Do they fall in love?
They fall in love. Okay. Well, he says, "Oh, I love you" at the end of the movie. It's, you know, it's a very silly movie.
Yes, that I do remember that part, the silly part, which is kind of from the opening credits to the end credits.
Yeah, but I love that movie.
I haven't seen it in too long. I can't really
comment. I haven't seen it since probably the 90s. It's been decades, but... from what I remember, it was fun. It was a fun view of the future, which wasn't... It was a little bit cynical, but still mostly fun. You know, the cops are still idiots eating McDonald's.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember that.
Bruce Willis is a taxi driver from space. I mean, there's a few jokes. But it's clearly a crazy... fever dream from a Frenchman.
Back to Bond.
Oh, I'm sorry. Back to Bond, and we'll start with yours.
It's okay, Matthew. Tomorrow will arrive.
Tomorrow will arrive.
On time.
Okay, so Edgar's Google Drive.
And I promise you, Matthew, I will tease and tantalize.
So what's your number one?
My number one, we're gonna do it backwards now.
Do them in order this time.
My number one is Paris and Bond. I don't know if it's an unexpected choice, because I feel David Arnold, so now we're officially in the David Arnold phase, a phase which will continue for a couple albums when we get to Daniel Craig eventually. But we're officially in the Daniel Arnold era, and I know it might be a little bit fashionable to claim Vesper's theme or the Venice piece as Arnold's best piece of romantic music, and I do think it's excellent movie, but I think this is my favorite romance movement in David Arnold's oeuvre. There's something very delicate about it. There's something sad about it, because their story itself is sad. There's a sense of an unrequited love that, you know, they just missed it. It almost happened. It almost happened, but because of who Bond is and because of what happened to Paris in her life, you know, it never came to fruition. Now they meet again for the first time in years, and they embrace.
That's a big love. It's a grandiose love story. Like make love to her, Pierce Brosnan. Like, yeah. It's the last thing you do.
And there's also a sense, I do feel that the music that plays when Bond and Vesper go to Venice and Casino Royale echoes. Like the sweep we just heard, I think it's coming. Oh no, may not be coming back now. It's a little bit there. You know, it's echoed in Casino Royale.
It's the same author, so I mean, he uses the same the same technique or notes or to express the same emotion, but it's different because the character, the actors, the mood is different picture. It's years after the fact, but you know, there's a soupçon. We love that word here.
C'est saupoudré de nostalgie. But I think the major difference between the two, and you know, we don't need to spend an hour talking about Casino Royale. We're going to do that in a later episode. But whereas the Casino Royale track is this new love, it's the birthing of a new love. Here, I find the music is telling a very different story. It's telling the story of a love that could have been and almost was, but never happened, never came to pass. So it's a very sad track, but I think it's some of Arnold's best work, which is, I think, saying something, because a lot of people think of stuff like Backseat Driver and this and that, but I do think that's some of his best work.
Yeah, we'll get to Backseat Driver. I'm going to shock people with my comments on Backseat Driver, but I want to start with my number one, and also the number one on the soundtrack, White Knight.
What not? I got a little bit of Gun Barrel.
And you can just stop it at the Gun Barrel. Not only is it the best of, you know, Brosnan era, and probably even the Craig era, it's the best Gun Barrel music. I think it's perfect.
Very good. Very good.
It's opening, like, it's the opening sequence. It's 8 minutes. We won't listen to it entirely.
It's like 15 minutes long or whatever, but.
You know, but it has multiple moments. I like doop, 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 doop. Cover it. It's modern. There's elements of electronic music, but it doesn't go too over the top. That soundtrack, but it goes through like I'm spying, and eventually it just explodes into a bombastic action sequence.
You know. Yeah, and that's something I think that we'll recognize as this episode goes along, and now that we're in the Arnold era, is that you have Tomorrow Never Dies, and this the track you selected is a good example of. I think Arnold is just going all out. He's so happy to be doing a James Bond movie score, and it's fairly orchestral. There's some tech and synth in there, but it's fairly orchestral. But as the Brosnan era goes along, and as the movies get a little bit zanier and a little bit loopier, so does the music, and so does the technology involved in the music. But this is a Brosnan. Very small.
And I love the ball. It has that music as balls, like the
yeah. No, there's a rhythm to it. Yeah, that's
you can't help but I was tapping my foot. When I was listening to that soundtrack, like, yeah, that's badass.
Well, I think when this track is playing, you get a sense of Bond in action. You know, when they say Bond is back in action, James Bond is back.
But this is felt the habit. Oh, yeah, back. Bond is back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You could cut a trailer with that moment and that piece of music. It would work. It would work. There's a momentum to it.
I can, you know, talk about it ad nauseum, but I wouldn't do you any favors because, you know, I want to know what you picked. So let's see what is your number two. Which one's your number two?
My number two is Hamburg Breakin'. I am, you know, some of my favorite moments in Bond movies, irrespective of the era, is Sneaky Bond. God, I love Sneaky Bond. And this one, there are many Sneaky Bond tracks throughout, you know, all of every Bond actor has a Sneaky Bond track. But this one really presses all the right buttons for me. There's something about that slightly little jazzy, slightly little like maracas almost going on there. Where, you know, James Bond is like tiptoeing in the dark, you know, he doesn't want to be found out. I know it's not in the dark, it's in broad daylight, but that's what the music makes me think of. There's something, you know, you can't go with too much force. You need a certain rhythm when you're sneaking. And I think the music tells this story very well. You know, now he's sort of walking across the roof and, you know, the guards are missing him, you know, the guard turns left and Bond goes right. You know, all those like great little moments when Bond is doing some sneaky shit. And these are the tiptoes.
Sneaky Bond, he's the less He's dressed in a suit. He's not dressed in...
Oh, now he's entering. Now he's entering. We're good. We're good. We're inside. We're inside. So I like it just because I love Sticky Bond stuff so much. And I think this track does a very good job at telling that story. It's one of my favorite moments in the movie. And I think the music does a lot of work to make it one of my favorite moments.
It starts to get a little bit techno-ish in this one, because there are tracks that I really don't care for in that album where you turn down your techno music, David Arnold, please. Because I don't think techno has aged as well as some people. To me, it's a cliche now. It's the disco of the 90s is techno.
But this, disco was, you know, disco, and this is disco of the 90s. I mean, they all have their vestiges. The new vestige will be what's it called? Autotune?
Oh God!
Like the guy can't sing, but it sounds like they can sing, but they're just singing through a computer. That'll be the new vestige. That'll be the new time capsule. I swear to God.
We're already at that level. I think, you know, people are mocking people who can't sing. Let's play my
numero dos. Mama never dies. Oh, Matthew, what is your number two? I must know. Last goodbye. Oh, Paris.
But it's more or less the cousin of your pick. So again, the Paris Carver, I'm sad, lonely housewife, trophy wife. I don't want to get political, but
I wouldn't even be able to begin to guess what would be political about Paris.
About the character of Paris Carver, a trophy wife to an influential man. Pick one.
Maybe I haven't had enough coffee today, but anyways.
It's all right. It's just very sad. It's more or less the same track you
picked. It's the conclusion of my track. Yeah, it's the end of that story, the unfortunate end to that story. There's some heartstrings being pulled in this one, which is shocking because Bond's heart is of stone. He shows no emotion, except here.
And he's nuzzling her, and it's very sad. So that's, you know, it's short. That's probably why I picked it, but it works for sure.
Nibbling her dead skin.
Yeah, I'm, I would love to talk about that actor's choice that Pierce Brosnan made of nuzzling his dead lovers in those films. It feels like it's an actor thing, because he does it twice, and I'm almost sure he wanted to do a third time in Dying of the Day, nuzzle Miranda Frost.
He's a biter.
I don't know if he because he lost his first wife very young. I don't know if he used that opportunity to use those emotions to on screen part of his process. Mm. I don't know. It feels genuine.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I'm not mocking him. I feel it feels like he comes from a genuine place. Mm. So that's my number one, two, and we're gonna go to your number three.
Complete this trio. This trio.
Number three.
Bad Boy tracks. Well, my number three is obviously the best track of the soundtrack, because it's my favorite. I went with Helicopter Ride. It's a bit of a strange one because it's not like a super obvious, but
no, it's not.
The reason why I like this one, and this is like, now we're really getting into vintage Bond beats bullshit, but the reason why I like this one is that I'm a big fan of Hong Kong action movies. I watched a lot of them, some of which starred in Michelle Yeoh. And they all had a certain style. They all had a certain rhythm to them, and they all had certain musical beats to them. Now I know they're supposed to be in Saigon, It's a little complicated. The scene is in Saigon, but they filmed in Thailand. But what this makes me think of is are those 1990s. I feel like I'm in a 1990s cop movie, and like the Hong Kong gangster just got out of his limousine, and the police are like, what do they call it? They're staking him out, and they're taking their pictures, they're stacking their pictures, and there's a bit of a rhythm, and you know, now the cops, like, they're walking behind, they're tailing the gangster right now, and the gangster's taking the elevator to his private suite with the great view of Hong Kong and the Hong Kong harbor. I know the movie's not in Hong Kong, but that's what it makes me think
of those movies. It's Hong Kong cinema influence.
Yeah, yeah. Which, and it's a 90s movie, you know. It's
from its era. It's a surprising choice, because like it I wouldn't have picked that one. But you know, you've
it's a very personal choice.
Yeah, well, of course, but you've also explained your choice very well, so appreciate that. But
well, that was one of my more off the wall explanations, where it doesn't really have anything to do with the movie. It's not even the same country.
No, but I used what's the application that people use now to post their film reviews. It's called Letterboxd.
All right.
Yeah. So I wrote a review of Tomorrow Never Dies on Letterboxd. It's, you know, it's not very long, but I in my description it says it's the perfect mix of, you know, old 60s spy craze, 90s action adventure, and Hong Kong kung fu cinema. It's a, like, that movie is a perfect blend of all those three flavors. And musically, what you, the track you just played for us is fits that category. I'm like, oh, I think you picked, when I started to play that track, I'm like, oh, it's the epitome of that line I wrote last night. Interesting.
Ryan, well, I mean Arnold knows his movie music. I've never heard him say this. I've never read this quote, but I wouldn't be surprised if he also knows his 90s Hong Kong, like, undercover cop cinema, and sort of like took inspiration from those scores. They do sound a lot like that.
He probably listens to a ton more music than you and I do. It's his job.
Yeah. Yeah. Helps when you're paid to do it also.
So I'm going to play my number one, two, my number three.
Numero tres.
And this is, again, a 6 minute, 46 seconds track. It's probably my favorite action set piece of the entire movie. I really love the bike chase and the music. The way it sings and zags, it's a little bit
goes up, it goes down.
You know, it goes left, goes right. It's very, you know, it works. And when it works, man. It's very exciting. Again, I was recently watching that movie, and I was tapping my foot. I'm like, oh my, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. It's fun. A little bit of guitar. It's like, oh, it's...
You know what it almost sounds like? And I know this is ridiculous, because David Arnold used the Bond theme like a billion times in this score. So, but maybe because it's a motorcycle, not a chase. I mean, that the chopper is following them, but they're on the motorcycle. And it almost sounds like the Bond theme is the motor. Like, they're revving it up, and they're pushing onto the gas, and they're going a little bit faster, and the motor's working a little harder because they're going
up. I think you might have picked up something that I think I meant, like, subconsciously, Hog picked up, never worded, but he does the same thing for a track in The World's Not Enough, where you actually feel like the Bond theme is sort of the engine of the chase, and it's each time you hear it, it's like, oh, it's getting a little bit more exciting, it's going to do something cool. Gonna jump over the helicopter. Are you trying to
John Barry?
No, I'm trying to bend the bike. Get in the back.
The clutch.
it's a fun sequence, and the music is fun. It just sometimes the music carries a sequence, and sometimes a sequence is not as exciting because the music doesn't work with it. But here, and for the most part, that soundtrack, you know, Arnold had something to prove with that soundtrack, I feel. Like, all he was like, oh, it's that kid. And he was picked by, John Barry. And he did that the David Experience sort of
album. Shaken and Stirred.
Yeah, it's a great album. I don't know if you had it, but that's a... we should do a podcast on that one eventually. But I think that's why he uses the bumping as much as he does. I feel like he uses it more in that soundtrack than any other that he did. And he's just like, let's spray some sauce, some 007 sound source, and it's chock full of the bomb.
Sometimes you just gotta get down to the meat and potatoes, and the meat and potatoes is the freaking James Bond theme. That's all there is to it.
Keeps people happy. I know I was happy when I was watching the movie, and even to this day, I'm having a good time with that film and that soundtrack. So I'm gonna stop talking. So now we're at your number four, because you picked three.
Well, I had a backup, but that's just in case. But we didn't pick any of the same ones.
That's why.
My backup would have been, but I don't think, did I put, I'm not even in my Tomorrow Never Dies.
Backup three plus second.
Oh, yeah, that's just when, Dr. Kaufman needs to know how to open the doors. And it's just before Backseat Driver.
Track.
No. I'm just a professional doing a job.
I love that moment.
Good moment. Yeah, it is a good moment. It's definitely vintage Bond. It's Fleming Bond.
Yeah, that's what I wrote in my notes. I wrote that's probably the most Fleming-esque that Brosnan has ever been as Bond.
And there's a little bit of your theme right there, because he's one of the last goodbye to Paris. And this is just...
What's your... Sneaky Bond.
Yeah, that's my sneaky Bond. No Bond is like, he's behind Lily Cologne and all that stuff. It's like, okay, he took out his Ericsson and now he's like stuck in the motor.
That's funny, because I was thinking, probably Brosnan's James Bond was probably, as a kid, big into remote control vehicles. That's probably why he's able to drive that car. So I'm like, hey, probably. I can't drive. I can't drive remote-controlled vehicles for like. I get confused. But some people, I've seen some people, they're really good at it. It's impressive. It's a skill set I do not possess.
Car did respond to his touch. So that is it. I mean, we're recording these in reverse order today. We'll get to that scene in another episode. But that is I can't wait to talk about that scene. I love that so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna shock you, because this is my dishonorable mention.
You have a dishonorable mention for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
This one, I'm. You know, it's.
Sounds like someone farting.
I am not a fan of. This is the most techno he is in that soundtrack.
Yeah.
And probably in 1997, I probably liked it. This is 2022 Matt, and 2022 Matt, he hears techno and just like, oh god.
it's a different style for sure. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
It's like the Matrix. Like when the Matrix came out, I was making I started making short films around 1999, early 2000. And people, like, I'm guilty of that too, but people were like shooting their own action sequences, their own fights. And people used to put techno music everywhere, wall to wall. And it's just, oh God.
I do appreciate the what the heck is that word? Instrumentalization, whatever it is, of the surrender theme with the horns. That's pretty good. I think it gives it a little bit of a classic rhythm. But it is very tech heavy. It's very, very tech heavy.
So, you know, you could tone down the tech like 50%.
We'll get to Die Another Day.
Yeah, no, God. this one is, it's way too much. It's,
But the thing is, I think the big difference is we're listening to the track as is for the purposes of the show. But when that scene is playing, I mean, there's so many things exploding and there's so much machine gun fire that like I barely hear the music in that sequence. If I'm being just honest, I don't even know what's playing. It's like,
yeah, but just as noise. A musical piece, yeah. When you watch, you know, you could watch that sequence without music, without sound, and it would still work.
Probably.
You had the sound, and it's... I would love to listen to watch it, just the sound effects. It's probably just as exciting. And it just puts it a little bit too much over the top. It's sensory overload to me about that.
Yep. The whole scene is kind of sensory overload, if we're being honest.
It's sort of my problem with that film at times. It's a little bit less machine gun, a little bit more less techno. It would be...
Yeah. No, I feel you. I don't dislike the track as much as you. I don't hate it, but
it just it irks me. It feels dated.
See, I don't really like this movement right here, where like the piano's just doing like, yeah. What is the piano player doing?
Piano's
I
have no idea. Crack.
I don't think the piano player knows what the piano player's doing. I don't think the piano player's ever played the piano.
But when you hear like a bit of Surrender,
it's
exciting. Let me stop that, and we'll go back to your list.
That garbage.
le garbage.
Easy joke. Easy joke.
Which ones? Oh my God! Is that your number one?
What the heck is my number one? I mean, my number one. The thing with my number one is that I really like. It's called Show Me the Money, but
it's number one. Guess who is?
Look. I think I know where you're confused, because depending on which album, whether it's the original or the extended, because on the extended, all the tracks, I actually prefer the extended because it's very extremely well defined what's what and what's what scene, whereas on the original, sort of like three scenes are in this track. I just like Show Me the Money. I just like, you know, Bond fiddling with his fingers going like, oh God, what was on the ice? And he runs, everything blows up. I think the track when he's on the Thames is great, but my pick is just Show Me the Money, like that one minute.
Let's listen to it.
Chaos is... Is there any, is it playing? Oh, there it is. See, Bond is realizing, like, wait a minute, something's not right here. What's going on? King, the money! Move! So I sort of like this idea of increasing chaos and increasing panic. But in a, to borrow a popular term, in a safe space, you know, it's MI6. We're at MI6 headquarters. What can happen to us? And it's like, oh no, something tremendously grave is just about to happen right now. So I do like that. I mean, the track is very long because it goes into the boat chase. And I like the boat chase music. I think it's good music. But I like this section in particular where it's just like, it's this rising tension and something really feckishing bad is just about to happen. And you cannot stop it. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop it. So I like that quite a bit. I think it's going to end in like 20 seconds here. Move! That's my retirement boat!
I think my pick is... it's
the boat chase on the Thames?
Yeah. Well, you did mention, because I think I have the extended soundtrack on YouTube Music, because on Spotify it's not available, and I'm a Spotify member, but I've uploaded all my music when it was Google Music years ago, so it's still available. But yeah, my number one ends, my number one begins. And I remember when that I had that soundtrack, and I don't know if my dad, what the van that I used to, because I used to have my dad's minivan back in 1999, and that's when I first got my driver license.
Mm.
Even though I was driving a Dodge Caravan 1994,
sexy.
I was putting that soundtrack in, and I was driving around with a girl. I was like, "Oh, it's like you're driving James Bond's car, but it's a crappy minivan." And I'm like, "Is it?" And you put the gas pedal to metal. You hear the engine just like rev up, and it's just, it was exciting driving. Probably very dangerous, but I love driving with that.
That makes you drive a little faster. If I can ask you a question, and I'm asking it sincerely and honestly. Because you, for Tomorrow Never Dies, one of your dishonorable mentions was Backseat Driver, a little bit too much techno. And your number one for The Water's Not Enough is, what's it called? Not Your Time Is Up.
Just enough.
Okay. All right. No, fair enough. I mean, you chose it.
And also, nostalgia has a lot to do with it, with this being my number one. Because, like I said, I was learning to drive. I was driving on my own for the first time in my life.
When you were saying, when I commented that the bike chase scene in Tomorrow Never Dies and Arnold uses the Bond theme and it's like the motor, are you referring to when he uses the Bond theme in this year at near the end of the boat chase and the Bond theme is like the motor's boat?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
When there's a little break and then the music starts, it's like him revving up.
Yeah, like, yeah. Which he does, as I recall. I haven't seen that one in a little
while. He's
sort
of scanning for, because she blocked... is rude, so he's looking for another way to catch up to her.
Mm. I do like the little moment. He goes underwater, he straightens his tie, and
it's so dumb, but it's dumb, but it's fun, so I don't mind. People who are like, it's like, where is your sense of fun? It's supposed to be a fun movie.
It's called a James Bond movie. I get with it.
This is not. It's not Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It's supposed to be light and fun, and Tony Stark would do something like that, and people are like, "Oh, it's brilliant! Robert Downey Jr. is the best actor of all time." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's silly. It's just as dumb."
Well, I mean, he is good in the role. I'm not gonna be smart.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Or DJ,
apples to or apples, and people tend to have a very negative and sort of judgy. I don't know how to phrase it, but people are very negative with Brosnan when he did silly things like that back in the day. Anyway,
I think what I've heard this once. I can't quote the person because, truth be told, I don't remember who said it. But I thought it was kind of smart and to a large extent fairly accurate is that whenever a new actor comes along and we're about to get a new actor, so Daniel Craig will be old news soon enough. But whenever a new actor comes along and they knock out that first movie, you know, they knock it out of the park, a total grand slam, which it often is with the actor's first film. Suddenly becomes a little bit fashionable to go, "Oh wow, the new guy's so good." Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, the old guy was a little bit, you know, whatever." So I think it'll be interesting to see what people think of Daniel Craig in a couple of years when Bond 26 comes out, because I feel like we spent the Craig era. Basically just repeating, "Oh man, isn't this so much better than Brosnan?" I'm like, wow. I mean, to each their own. It's fair enough. If you really think it's better, fine. But.
I don't think we... Like, I've been defending Die Another Day since 2002. I don't belong in that category, I feel.
You don't defend Die Another Day. You just defend that one line.
I enjoy my silly action movies. And I feel like I also feel like every actor... his last movie is not particularly well regarded, and I think No Time to Die, the reaction, you know, some people love it, some people hate it, and some people that might have begun loving it don't like it so much a year later.
Yeah, and we might know one or two.
I'm including myself in
that's
that.
A conversation for another episode, but yeah.
But to getting back to that sequence, it's It's exciting music that I recommend that if you drive on the Autobahn, for example, enjoy.
That's a great ending, by the way, when he jumps off the boat and onto. That's a great, but the music is great too. It's so what David Arnold does, and I think the track you picked is a good example of that. David Arnold is great at rhythm augmentation and tension augmentation, like a ticking clock in his tracks. I think he's very, very good at that. And what is that track? It's not Time's Out. Time's Out is, no, right. Yours is Time's Out. Mine is Show Me the Money. Yeah, that's very, very good.
And now your number twos.
My number twos is Welcome to Baku. It's one of the few times on the soundtrack where we get an instrumental version of the Garbage tune. Although it doesn't, it's not there for a long time, but it's there if you listen. And I like my instrumental versions of theme songs. I think a lot of fans do, as you do. And this one makes me want to travel to like Northern Africa, which I have actually a long time ago, but I have been in Northern Africa, but go back there or the Middle East, especially
very exotic. Glad you picked that one, because it's when he's driving in the oil field. I don't necessarily want to go drive a car in decapotable convertible in the oil field. It probably stinks like up to high heaven.
Yeah,
but in the context of the movie, it just feels so exotic, so beautiful somehow.
In the summer of 2008 or 9, I was in Tunisia for a few weeks, which is in Northern Africa along the Mediterranean. It's not a very large country, but sort of went around, sometimes in the desert, sometimes an old Roman cathedral, sometimes a very sort of posh neighborhood in the capital. But I sort of, when I hear this, I know James Bond doesn't go to Tunisia and the world is not enough, but when I hear this music, I think of some of my travels to the desert and stuff like that.
So it's in that general, very general neighborhood. I'm being
very general, but yeah, sure.
But it's still like, I get, you know, sometimes it's a music can evoke a region of the world. I have some picks that sometimes, like, you know, there are tracks in Doctor that make me think of the Caribbeans. I've never been to Jamaica yet. So to me, it evokes Cuba, but obviously it's not Cuba. It's
but maybe a track later on that evokes a place for me that I've never been, but you have.
I think I know which one. That's a good pick. I should have picked that one. That's a great one.
Pick what you want to pick, man. It's all good.
I know, and it's not a contest, but we talked about poetics about that track. So I'm like, you know.
These episodes are about what does the music make you feel. You know, it's a very these episodes are, it's, they're probably among our more not visceral episodes, that's not the word I'm looking for, instinctual episodes. You know, I don't think too much when I make these picks. It's just like, I just love this piece of music, makes me think of that. It has to be on the list.
They're instinct. This one I really, really, really like, Electra's theme. There's a sadness, and she's a bit of a pathetic character when you think about it. She's, you know, a sadness. And I, when I was back in the early 2000s, if I had to a scene that feature a sad character or something sort of more emotional, I tend to, like, let's go back to my There Wasn't Enough soundtrack, pick an actress theme, drop it there for a few seconds. It's a group theme, very melancholic, very sad. I love it.
You know what I think when I hear this? Here's another weird one for the listeners. I don't think of a movie. I think of a musical, like a stage play, a musical. But the titular character is a very sad character, and this is her sad scene. and like the pianist is on the stage. Like I'm literally seeing the stage and the pianist is in the back playing this tune. I don't know why, but so I do. I also feel the sadness, but at a completely different meaning.
Yeah, you it's a little bit more conceptual in your in your case, but no, I just
tragedy to that character because she was wronged in more ways than one. You know, there was a, I don't know if you want to call it a betrayal between her parents, but that's how she perceives it. And then she began to kidnap victim, and then you get the whole Stockholm syndrome element to the story. So, you know, who knows, maybe there's in an alternate timeline, in Daniel Craig's timeline, you know, Electra King is like the coolest person in the world, but in the Brosnan timeline, she's the devil because of stuff that happened.
You know? Thinks he found his new wife, but it's a new Blofeld that he found. So that's my number dos. Let's see
what dose
picked for your number three. Would you pick
Body Double? Body Double, yeah. Because it has to be, but because it has to be Sticky Bond. Why would I ever pick anything else? But I do like this scene a lot. It's basically just rinse and repeat what I explained with Hamburg break-in. This one has a little bit more emphasis on the synth. There's a bit more synth in this one, but it's modest enough. It's subtle enough. But we are getting a little bit more tech. But you see, you still have that sort of Asiatic Arabic instrumentation there. I mean, I think they're still in Baku in this sequence, Azerbaijan.
It wouldn't work for that sequence for him to dress up in sort of a covert outfit. But that's one thing that Bond never, like Brosnan's Bond, it doesn't really often wear a sort of covert outfit. He's always dressed in suit, no matter what he does. What is he wearing? He's wearing a suit. He goes to that plane, he's wearing a suit. He goes to the beach, he's wearing a suit.
Now Bond is doing something very Bondian right here. But see, a few moments ago when that more sort of Arabic Asiatic instrument was playing, I almost feel like I'm in a bazaar. I'm in a souk. And so just walking through the endless alleyways and trying to cut deals.
It's exotic, Sneaky Bond.
Yes. We're not in Hamburg.
No, we are not.
This is what is this? This isn't the German techno. What happened to the German techno? Anyway, so that's my
number tres.
I was short on time. I mean, I have one on my word, but who cares?
Okay. So hopefully, my number three and my dishonorable mention also. I have one.
Of course you do.
And this one...
Hit me.
I love my sort of... especially the Brosnan era, the track they use when he's alone with the Bond girl at the end of the movie, where there's a elation, almost like a... it's like a real... You can relax.
Almost like a climax.
Yeah. Yeah, more or less, it's a climax. I don't want to get too vulgar, but there's a joy also in the feeling of joy, especially this one. This one's called Christmas in Turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's 90s Denise Richards when she was just the cutest.
She was cute. That's correct.
Cutest and sexiest that she's ever been. Mm. The pinnacle. She's still very attractive, but she had a park.
No, it's a nice little track. I mean, I like it. This wouldn't have made my list, but it's nice music. You know, it's a capper. It's a nightcap.
Exactly. But it's a
glass of warm milk with honey.
Not only are you closing the movie, but you're also closing the 90s and the 2000s, the 1990s. It's the end of the final Bond movie of the century, of the millennium.
Yeah.
Now, my dishonorable, I don't think it's just like, what the hell is that? is Orbis Nuncius, which, I mean, I feel like that's at the end of the movie, if I remember correctly. But it's a medley of everything that you heard in the movie, but you know, David Arnold poured some techno sauce on it, so it's just
too much techno. Right.
It's just everything you don't.
Well, one of the I think it's trying to emulate the bus saws of those helicopter things.
I won't torture our listeners. I'm not a fan.
One of the weirdest ones is, you know, we'll get to Die Another Day in a few minutes, but one of the weirdest ones is the remixed version of the Bond theme that plays over the end credits. But it's like the whole soundtrack sounds like a remix. Why is there a remix of the Bond theme during the end credits? That's so strange.
Spoiler, that track might be in my playlist, but the Moby did a version of the remix, but I think he did it. That's not for The World Is Not Enough. That's for
it's Tomorrow Never Dies.
I actually don't mind that one we'll get to it. So now we just finish. It Wasn't Enough. That brings us to another movie.
Or are we going to analyze this? All right.
let's see which you picked for Dad. Would you pick for Dad?
Dad.
Which one is your number one?
My number one is what else could it be? What else could it be? But the only track on this entire soundtrack that sounds like actual music. Welcome to Cuba.
Almost picked that one.
It's music. That's why this is my number one. It's really hot. It's really hot. It's a sunny day. I'm at the beach. They're beautiful. Only beautiful people at this beach. Only beautiful people at this beach.
You nailed it.
We're having drinks. We're having mojitos. We'll feast at night. At some point, the sun will set, but we won't care. We'll just keep on partying. I can't dance, but watch me go. You know, it's all good. We have a live band. I have no idea if this is authentic Cuban, but
you know what? It's Bond to Cuba. I'm not. But if you want to get me in the mood to, I want to go to Cuba. To play that music long enough, and I'm like, I'm gonna start shopping for tickets.
I won't blame you. I mean, it's a really nice piece. It's very rhythmic. It's very, you know, you sort of got the that. Salsa. The salsa. It's. I'm an atrocious dancer, but even I would give it a go if they started playing somewhere. You know,
I'm as good a dancer as I'm a good. Singer. Coordination and sense of rhythm are not my forte.
I'm gonna come clean, Matt. I mean, I do have two other picks, as you can see in my drive, and we'll get to them. But of the four soundtracks we're discussing this morning, I'm gonna say it. I had an easier time picking my GoldenEye tracks than my Die Another Day tracks.
I agree.
It all sounds the same. Other than Welcome to Cuba, it all sounds the same to me.
It's variation on the. It's very. It's all. They all blend together and sort of. Yeah. I know. I get what you. Because of, spoiler alert. Some of. You know.
There's a little bit of overlap.
Yeah, there's a little bit of overlap. My number one, and this is one I like for its moodiness, Some Kind of Hero. There's a little bit military drum, which I always like. And it's a little bit techno-ish.
Yeah.
But it works like that. That sequence really works, where it's just in the fog. You can see a silhouette.
Right.
It's out. Oh, being treated.
Maybe a little bit of berry in there with the ding ding.
Yes.
Some berry in there. It's a little bit more musical than the other tracks on here.
There's a lot of techno.
You get a sense that there's a little bit of danger involved. It's fine. I'll be honest, I needed you to tell me where that played. Like, I would not have guessed that it was during the prisoner exchange.
But, you know, I probably listen more to the soundtrack than I watched the movie at a certain point in my life. But when the movie's in theater, and that's in the early 2090s turns, when it took 6 months for you to get the movie on disc. So eventually the movie's not in theater, so you have to like build it in your mind. Soundtrack helps to do that.
Yeah,
and that's why I know that track very well because I know it where it's. But it's I'm not gonna play it entirely. I really like the beginning of it, which
That's a long track for such a short sequence.
There's other stuff.
Okay.
That's when he's getting. I'm checking out, I think. Anyhow, I'm more curious about your choice than my own, so let's see what you pick.
Putting pressure on me there.
I saw your picks. I'm like, we might have some of the same. I think yours is almost.
Oh, well,
which one's your number two?
Two birds with one stone. My number two is Going Down Together.
Really? That's my number three, by the way. So.
Now we're it's been a long war, and two lovers were separated during this war. They both went their separate ways for king and country. And the war lasted many, many months. They've seen some terrible things, but they kept writing to each other. And now we're at the end of the movie. The war is over. The country has won against enemy XYZ. A Top Gun enemy, like whatever.
Yeah, just bad guys. Bad guy plane.
And now we're at the end of the movie, and the lovers have reunited. And just this warm embrace,
Yeah, it's a. I picked that one because it's kind of like the Christmas in Turkey, just elation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry again.
Darling, I thought I'd never see you again. Now you get to see me tonight. And
every other
roll night. Credits. Oh. Yeah, there you go. Roll credits.
Yeah, it's also the Bond team plays, but it's very warm. It's almost friendly, I guess I would say.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's a Roger Moore sort of theme. That's you would hear that in a Roger Moore movie where it's like, we're just going to have some pop-pop and it's going to be a good time.
the thing that irks me about is that it jumps right into a very nasty techno version of Die Another Day when you watch the movie. It's like, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
You're back again.
But they kicked her out of the club.
I won't play my number three. I'm just gonna play my number two, and I will play your number three after that. Let me share. And I think your pick for number three is sort of the cousin of my pick for my. Or did I make a mistake and pick?
I don't know, it's
the correct one. It's just you're about to see some. That's when she pops out of the water and it's like, oh,
just when like that. Pops.
It's the hottest thing you've ever seen. It's just okay. Mm. I'm gonna just watch that.
Play the clip.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh my god, it's Halle Berry is. And another, kind of like Denise Richards, is at the pinnacle, and I would say that she's still at the pinnacle of her.
She never stepped down.
She's never stepped down. She's she's still acting. At these retreats, I don't think acts much anymore. But Halle Berry can still be an headliner for a movie. She did that crazy moon movie that nobody saw last year. And she was the star. She was shot here in Montreal. Moonfall. But yeah, there's not much to pick from that soundtrack. So you pick what you can. So that's my.
Yeah. I think mine is this. Might not go through the under the same name, but it's sensiblement the same piece of music.
I think it plays. It's a different track, but it almost the same.
Yeah, I mean Jinx and Bond, which I guess is more the theme when the two of them are together. to an extent, you know, eating fruit and feasting.
It's when they're in bed together.
Yes, when they're sleeping.
when they're exercising. They're sleeping.
But yeah, again, the moments that are musical are far and few between on this soundtrack, and a little bit like you, I'm not too big on the techno stuff, on the industrial stuff, so I'll naturally gravitate towards pieces like this. Is it his most memorable piece of work? I'm referring to Arnold here. No, but it's not bad, and it actually sounds like
on
something.
That album. It's one of the better cues.
Yeah.
There's a lot of techno and it's tiresome.
This little sequence right here, I don't know why, but it makes me think of some Bernard Herrmann in a Hitchcock movie. Something about it.
That's what you were referencing earlier.
I'm seeing Jimmy Stewart following what's her face? Novak in Kim Novak in Vertigo.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
No, it's fine, but it's sort of a little bit strange. It's a little bit dreamy. It's a little foggy.
I know the movie. I know the premise, so I can imagine what you're referencing, but I haven't seen the movie. Yeah,
there's a great scene in that movie where he's trying to prove that he doesn't have vertigo anymore, and it's just great. He goes on this. He has the petites échelles, just about like three steps. Mm. I look up. I look down. I look up, I look down. Movie's worth it just for that scene.
Number three, we've cleaned my number three, which brings me to, well, my dishonorable mention, and we have already alluded to it earlier.
What has dishonored this soundtrack?
Honestly, of all of the Brosnan era, this is the track that hurts me. Paul Oakenfold, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Then this is the DVD menu, and that's on the original DVD. I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna torture our listeners. I am not a fan of techno remix, and this is probably the most outrageous one. I think he did a song. He was famous for a song. Let me Google that, because he did a song that was used for mostly I feel like soundtracks for movies. If I put videos, it's probably Polkenfold. Trailer, music trailer. Ready. That's him. That's the one. Oh, of course. That's four. They use it in The Bourne Identity, and that's probably the most annoying it's been in that movie. I'm not a fan of techno for techno's sake, just to rather play it. It didn't really age very well. So I know he was popular for that, that's probably why they picked him to, well, let's have him do our Bond theme. Are you still there? Oh, so apparently Edgar got lost electricity. Interesting. That's gonna be a very interesting episode to end on. So I guess I'm gonna wrap this up on my own. But he says that he's not a big fan of the techno remix. I won't tell you the point. It's interesting. Always, these are always interesting episodes to record, because they're not really based on peripheral facts. They're more gut level. What do you feel about music? It's very personal, I feel. But interestingly enough, our some of our choices are some very similar at times. I'm gonna wrap this up. I won't go to the usual. He's writing to me and the episode solo. Of course, I'm doing that. I'm getting a text message. It's Edgar, but he says, do we have people everywhere? Yes, we do. We the spiel. We are hosted by anchor.fm. We have a website called thespawncomplex.com. We are on Facebook. We're on Instagram. If you want, we'd appreciate it, actually, if you gave us a 5-star Golden Gun review on whichever platform of your choice, whether it's on, I don't even know if Google Podcast does that, or if it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Wherever you listen to us, we'd appreciate a thumbs up. If not, if you need to get in touch with us, we are on the social medium platform. So without ado, I'm gonna say to give you the bon, I'm gonna tell you à la prochaine et au revoir. Ciao, ciao.